Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Long wrist shot.
ESPN with a call that was 26 seconds in. Just like that. The Mavs get punched in the face. The Cowboys get punched in the face. The Dallas Stars get punched right in the face. And then it was 2-0 before the Jamie Benn breakout to score. And then another power play. And the Knights score 3 seconds into that. So 29 total seconds of power play action. Two goals for Vegas. Then Stanky with a nice defensive play sets up Robertson for the answer. That makes it 3-2.
I don't know what if Stank Acid or Stanky is the worst name.
Stank Acid. Yeah. Stanky sets up Robertson 3-2. Second period, all the announcers thought that the Stars kind of controlled the action, but it was Vegas who got on the board. And then you end up with the 4-3 loss at the AAC.
Yeah, and you know, they really had chances at the end in the last 7 or 8 minutes. Oh, and you know, they pulled the goalie early, and you know, that gave them a good 2+ minutes with an empty net with a man advantage. And you know, credit to Vegas. I mean, they stopped them. And you know, two of the Stars' goals came on some major mistakes defensively, lapses. One of them was a mistake where they let Ben go all the way, and then the other one, Stankoven, had the turnover, had the steal. But Vegas, they're defensively very, very good, and their Stars came to play. Hurdle had a goal, you know, March saw a goal, Stone, you know, so they had some guys that are big players for them, you know, scoring this one.
Yeah, and it's like I said yesterday, Vegas is just so much better on the power play, both on it and killing it, compared to the Stars. And that's what was on display yesterday, is that, you know, when things are off even strength, Vegas is better. And I'm just going to hope that nobody remembers that I said the exact opposite yesterday.
Yeah, so. The NHL home teams, it wasn't just the NBA that went undefeated. I think we're at 11-0 now in the NBA playoffs for home court. NHL home teams started off 6-0. Obviously, they got broken and did not follow through yesterday. But here's Vegas and what they thought heading into game one for the NHL playoffs. The favorite to win the Stanley Cup from Bet Online was who?
The Rangers.
Carolina.
Carolina. Mm. Carolina at +550, followed by the Rangers and Panthers. Any guesses after that? Or would you like me to run down?
I mean, Stars have to be there.
Not next.
Edmonton?
Yep. Good job. Edmonton at 7-1, then the Stars at 15-2. This is before last night. Bruins 10-1, and then Colorado, Vancouver, Vegas, Winnipeg, all at 12-1. The Caps have the worst odds to win it all at 200-1. If you think that the Stars are going to make the Stanley Cup Finals and lose, you can get them at 15-4 just to win the West. So second best odds behind Edmonton in the Western Conference. As for the series odds, minus 142. So basically a 59% chance of winning the series. 59% for the Stars before last night.
Before last night. Yeah, I wonder how that's changed at all. I mean, it makes sense. They are the one seed. They have been the best team in the West for a majority of the season.
But easily, well, not easily, the only other series where it was closer odds was Winnipeg to beat Colorado. The Jets have a 61% chance, but Carolina, 89%.
Yeah.
Boston, 71%. The Rangers, 91%. Florida, 80%. Vancouver, 75%. And Edmonton, 67%. But that's why I asked Spittle yesterday, did the Stars get unlucky with this draw? Because they have the lowest chance of the favorites to win in advance.
You know, people don't want to, fans of teams, people don't want to admit this. Sports is never about, not never about, but it's often not about who the best team is. It's about the draw you get. A lot of it has to do with the draw. Go to the NCAA tournament.
By the Cowboys, we got that great draw last year.
Go to the NCAA tournament.
The Mavericks without Kawhi.
Yep. It's a draw, man. Like, you get a good draw, you got a good chance. If you don't have, if you get screwed with a draw and you get a just tough matchups. Now, obviously, look, if you're UConn, you're just that much better than everybody else. But it's so much about draw. It really is. And Stars got an unlucky first round matchup. Vegas even shows it. Like, the Vegas odds even show that they got, for the one seed, the overall one seed in the West, to have a situation where they're playing a series where they have the closest odds.
Does it feel like any of them? The Warriors got in as like an eight? I mean, it's easy to say now Vegas more of a threat than the Warriors, but does it feel like, you know, injured, wounded champion, but you don't want to face
healthy
them early?
Getting healthy. Yeah, of course. Of course. Well, you know, and there's a championship hangover, too, that happens in the regular season. And, you know, like we talked about yesterday, they kind of have a patriot-y thing to them where they kind of just let you go. If you're not a superstar, all right, well, we'll just find a replacement. They've got a good system there.
Yeah. Other chaos happened last night on the ice.
Off the boards, it comes up on the wing. A long lead pass for Matthews. Matthews is in alone. Scores! Holy mackerel! Big Pappy has given the Leafs the lead.
Toronto radio with the call. 3-2 Leafs over Boston. And what ESPN was following while our game was starting was what was taking place with Carolina and the New York Islanders.
Man.
This was 3-0.
It's 3-0. They pulled the goalie with minutes to go. Minutes. Like, a lot of time. And they wound up scoring a handful of goals like in 8 seconds. It was crazy. It was just a crazy finish there.
5-3 Carolina wins.
They win, and that's a crippling loss for the Islanders.
Then Edmonton puts up 7 on the LA Kings, 7-4 Oilers.
Oh, that's almost the same amount that the Mavericks scored in LA in the second quarter. Just one off there. That was very, very close there. 5 assists for Connor McDavid in that game.
5 assists?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. As for some NBA, actually, you know, before we leave that, what's up with this Peyton Twitter Spaces? I still don't know what a Spaces is. I don't know what it is. I don't know if you get compensated. I don't know if you get paid.
No.
What is it?
Can you not? Can you not make money off
that? You maybe can. But, I mean, in general, how it's used is like, oh, here I am. It's like I could start a Twitter space right now from my phone. And basically anybody who follows me gets an alert at the top of the screen. Says, Bobby started a Twitter space. And you can jump in there. And it's like you're talking into your phone. It's like you're doing a live stream just from your phone. So it's audio only. And then you can ask to be a speaker and you can join. And it turns into like a big group project. So Peyton was like, we're out here. So I replied back and I was like, start a Twitter space, a Stars Twitter space, you coward. And so then he did. He started one.
At the AAC.
I did. I was like, okay, how do I get involved here? And Bobby said it. I was like, you know what? I've never done a Twitter space. Let me do it. And then, I mean, instantly once I sent Bobby the link to join, I had 7 or 8 Tolos join as well. And you can like click on people to like because it shows them as like a listener, and you can click on their profile and say, okay, do you want to speak? Here you go. And so you can give them the platform to start speaking. I don't know. I think it's a great, you know, technique. It's been around for a little bit.
And were you interacting with people? They were talking to you? Like, you giving the report from the AAC? What were you discussing?
I was just talking to them. I did not let them talk. I couldn't hear a whole bunch. So, and I guess I didn't know how you could, like, see messages that were being sent to me or how I could allow them to send messages. But I think if you're in a quiet space, it's a great technique to use.
Have you ever done one?
I've joined one, but I didn't join it to talk. They were just talking about Tennessee football, and I just hopped on. Getting some text that the Stars are now +125.
Oh.
They're an underdog in the series.
Wow. Vegas also with Mavericks Clippers odds before the series. LA at -137. This open up Mavs -120. So current odds suggest the Clippers have a 58% chance of now winning the series. Minnesota -173. Denver -700. That was before the 20-point comeback last night. OKC -1100. Cleveland up 2-0 on Orlando. They were the favorite. Milwaukee -225. The New York Knicks. This is before that chaos at the end of that. -300 to beat Philly and Boston. Guess the minus for the Celtics.
10,000.
I was going to say 900. I don't know.
More.
More than 10,000?
Wow.
I've never seen this.
100,000.
20.
Jeez.
-20,000 to beat the Miami Heat. That is a 99.5% chance.
So you had bet $2,000 to win $100?
Shots fired at Bam Adebayo. They just don't believe in him. By the way, that when you just mentioned Nuggets there, that reminded me. Do you ever look up here on the screen sometimes and go like, how is ESPN making up stats like this?
I just did on the Laker thing.
The what about Jokic and playoff triple? Here's a great stat for you, Choppy.
Yes.
Nikola Jokic has now passed Lenny Wilkins for the most all-time playoff triple doubles against the Lakers.
I was just thinking
that is the dumbest stat.
I was just thinking
that's
Cowboy-esque.
They reach into their bag for like, what's the most ridiculous stat? Yeah. I mean, I would have never guessed Lenny Wilkins. I don't know. I would have thought the Chief, Robert Parrish.
Did he play the Minneapolis Lakers? Is that what this was?
So NBA championship odds overall, Boston 5-4, Denver 11-4. Would y'all pick Boston or Denver in the finals?
Boston.
Probably Boston.
All right. I'd pick Denver. Clippers
Contrary. And
OKC 14-1. Milwaukee 16-1 to win it all. The Mavericks 18-1. Then the Wolves, Knicks, Lakers, Suns, Cavs, Miami, 300-1 to win the NBA championship. So that's what Vegas thinks of the NBA and NHL playoffs.
By the way, are we in, and I know we haven't really talked about it like this, and it's like the whole thing of like home team, hold serve, whatever else. But like, are we feeling like this is done if they lose tonight, Dallas?
No.
No.
That's a good question.
Yeah, they're coming home. You can get.
Okay, what if Kawhi doesn't play? Kawhi comes back for game 3 up 2-0.
I don't know. I mean, it could be one of those things where the team plays better without him. They play more as a team without him.
I would say it's not over. Series is not over.
I would probably say it's. I feel like it's done if they lose.
You put it in a situation, you got to win 4 or 5
it's
then.
Done? No. Well, they're just defending home court.
Yeah, but I mean, if Kawhi's missing 2 games and you can't beat him, they've essentially been the same team at home and on the road, both the Clippers and the Mavericks.
What is Luka's approach? I'm going to ask the MJ question for Luka's approach tonight. I'm fascinated. Is Luka passing early?
How about not be a ball hog?
Is he going to shoot from distance? Is he going to go inside early? What is Luka Doncic's approach? I know his answer is always, I just read the defense. I react to what they do.
Happy here.
Maybe that is what he does, but what's the approach you think going in?
Slow ISO dribble behind the screen and then step back 3.
Wait till the shot clock gets out of the game.
No different from game 1? I don't like that answer, though.
But I think that's the answer. You just hope they get. Look, I mean, I don't think he's going to shoot that poorly early on to start games every time. So
that's
the thing. It's not the worst mode of attack when the shot's falling. When the shot's falling, you're like, oh, I love it. Like when we watch these games where he starts the game 10 of 11 and he makes 6 threes in the first quarter, we don't go like, why aren't you taking it inside more? It's just if it's falling, it's great.
That's the thing. Like if they play the same exact style of basketball they played in game 1, but they make a few more of their shots, I mean, the game's completely different. That's. And people don't want to hear that. They want you to yell at them or whatever. They don't want to hear that. Look, they just missed shots. Like, that was just bad execution, and that's the reality.
Let's talk about psycho Corey Seager on the home of the World Series champs next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A much-needed off day for the World Series champs yesterday. They will return to action tonight with Dane Dunning, my guy, on the mound against the Seattle Mariners in Arlington. 6:30 pregame, first pitch at 7 o'clock. And we are, in case you did not know, the place where you can hear every single Texas Ranger game, along with my main man, Jared Sandler, Bruce Bochy, Chris Young as well. That is 105.3 The Fan. Bobby, let's talk about the profile done on the psycho Corey Seager.
And he is apparently a baseball psycho. This is from the brilliant mind and beautiful pen of Jeff Passan at ESPN. Is there a better baseball writer than Jeff Passan, RJ Choppy?
Man, he's quite tremendous. He doesn't write text very well.
There's definitely better texters.
People who actually text back. Yeah. Well, he's got to get approval to text back, you know? Now, Corey Seager, when we think of his swing.
If I ever see him at Hurtado again there at the park, I'd take a beef rib and shove it right up his...
Wow. Which end?
Beef ribs and tree branches. Goodness. Sean, when we think of beautiful swings across this, does Corey Seager...
No.
Like, you don't think of Seager's swing as similar to, like...
I never... As what? Don't... I want to hear the name you say.
No, I'm not going to say Griffey.
Okay. Or Palmeiro.
But no, like in terms of, like, how we always have, like, the standard, like, that's the prettiest swing in baseball. Do we think of, like, right now that Seager... Because I do think Seager's swing is pretty.
I've never thought of it. I don't get time to watch it because he's swinging it every first pitch.
It's a good swing. I don't think it's...
Isn't it like short, compact?
It's very short and compact. It's a swing you want to teach.
It's smooth.
It's a swing you would definitely absolutely teach because he does a lot of things right with the swing. That's a good. You know, I don't know that there is a particularly.
Yeah, who's got the smoothest swings in Major League Baseball today?
Because, you know, if you look past, like, you know, the last 15 years, people would point to Cano's swing was really, really pretty. Obviously, Griffey's swing was pretty. Palmeiro had his pretty swing. It's always a lefty.
Hamilton.
Yeah, Rafi looked like he didn't. Josh's swing was pretty.
It was long. It was more. The thing that's different about his versus the other guys I mentioned is his was powerful. The other guys were smooth. Like,
Josh,
it almost looked like it was in slow motion when you saw Griffey's swing.
Yeah, Josh would whip the batter. Yeah, like he.
Palmeiro was like slow motion swing.
Yeah, Rafi like literally looked like he didn't. Care almost.
Yeah.
That's how, like, I mean, he would. I always remember when you see him swing through, he almost just kind of like slumped his hand down after he swung through, just like he dropped the bat. Like, it was just so effortless for him. Well, Corey Seager has the prettiest swing in baseball, according to Jeff Passan. Jeff Passan writes this. He says, the baseball swing is a puzzle, an ever changing riddle. Even for the best hitters in the world, the fragility of the swing is palpable. Every minuscule detail matters. Batters are not machines built to replace the same action countless times before they are replaced. They are human beings aiming to be their most machine-like and grappling with the defect of the endeavor. Boy, that's a little overly wordy there, Jeff. Perhaps the best representation of this duality belongs to Corey Seager, the shortstop for the reigning World Series champion Texas Rangers. Seager obsesses over his swing. I love the process, he says. You have to enjoy it to be able to do this, right? Now in his 10th major league season, Seager has grown into one of the game's finest hitters, as much because of the time he spends fine-tuning his swing as the inherent ability packed into his 6'4", 215-pound frame. So they talk about how his process of how he goes through like tweaking his swing and tweaking his mechanics. And we've heard before, Corey Seager's kind of a little bit of a loner.
ISO. Yeah,
yeah,
loner.
He's an isolation guy. Like when we hear the, oh, Micah Parsons like just works off on his own to like, you know, he's got his own process and everything like that. Like that's a reality here for Corey Seager.
And the reality is also like what winning and losing does to that perception. Yeah. Because early on I heard, oh, Seager, he's not in there sharing the knowledge. They paid him to be a leader with Semien, and they're not getting that. They're not getting that leadership in those two. He does his own individual hitting study, right? And then when you win and you're the World Series MVP, you're a scientist.
You are.
You're breaking it down. You're a mad scientist.
You're a tortured artist. You need to be alone. You know? That's what it is.
Yes.
You go from torturing the organization to being a tortured artist.
Yes.
But it says, before every at-bat, Seager finds a mirror. At Globe Life Field, he heads for the one next to the batting cage or in the weight room. At the other 29 stadiums around Major League Baseball, Seager knows exactly where he can locate one because it's every bit as important to him as the bat he's going to use at the plate. When Seager stares into the looking glass, he sees angles. It's less about mathematics than about comparing the mental snapshot of his most idealized batting stance to how closely he is reproducing it in that particular moment. This varies by the day, even the at-bat. For Seager to be who he aspires to be, the best version of himself, which consequently would be the best hitter on the planet, he must constantly tweak and contort his limbs into the proper angles to put himself in an ideal position to punish the baseball. The mirror is Seager's muse. He stares at himself with clarity, both literal. He's got 20-12 and a half vision, 20-12-5. I didn't know that was a thing. Is that a thing?
20-20. I mean, I know 20-10. I know 20-10 is like super low line.
Literal and figurative, the latter born of thousands of hours of studying the angles and knowing himself better than any opponent hunting for a weakness ever could. Seager says, even with good vision, if you're in a bad spot, you're not going to be able to dictate your at-bat how I would prefer to. So I've learned that it always comes back to how I move. Seager's main mirror sits in the hallway of Globe Life. A piece of white tape adorns its top frame. Written on the tape is a message. I'm here to help you look good and move good. Please don't break me.
What?
Wow. Rangers hitters retreat from the dugout to partake of it. None with quite the reverence of Seager. The mirror, he says, does not lie. This kind of single-minded focus has helped him ascend to the highest rung of one of the game's most successful families. And then it goes through the Seager lineage. Of course, his brother, Kyle Seager, who for years played with the Mariners. But this is, when we hear the psycho, like, loader behavior, like, it does seem to make a little bit more sense why he has the loner approach. If he's that, like...
He said it helps me in my profession to be OCD.
You know, when we talk about Scherzer, like we've heard people say that Scherzer on game days is like, yeah, you can't really don't talk to him, don't look at him. Like it sounds like every game is that for Seager.
Yeah, well, if you heard Scherzer mic'd up the other week, don't talk to him on non-game day starts either because he was not interested. Seager, this is like the only subject matter where I think you could get him to talk.
Like talk technical aspect of hitting.
Talk technical aspects. He does not want to do media.
It's funny. I realized, and I know you guys were in a different position for what you did, but during the press conferences with Garrett, like you realized if you want a good answer from Garrett, it's the same thing of like getting a good answer out of Belichick. It's like ask him about something that allows him to like get into the thing he's obsessed with, which is football, technical aspects of it, things like that. So if you were to ask, I remember Garrett, one of the longest answers he ever gave us. At a press conference.
Was when he had a Buddhist monk friend.
Was when Machota asked him something like, what's the key to running a good rub route? Because he was writing some article and he was like curious about, he'd gotten some stuff from the locker room. And Garrett started going to all this like, the stuff he would say to a rookie when coaching them. And he started like using his hands and saying, yeah, you do this, you got to run here. Look, you know, it's about pace and space and doing this and blah, blah, blah. And it's just, you get them on that subject matter that they're really passionate about. We've all known people like that who are who are quiet or like, you know, kind of keep to themselves. You're like, boy, they're not very social. Yeah, and then you find the one thing that they're really passionate about and it clicks. And this is the thing where he's really passionate about this and really obsessive about it.
Here's Corey's agent, Jared Sandler. Best story written on Corey that I've read, most accurate. Just to make it clear, he's not a loner amongst his teammates socially. He just doesn't go through a standard pregame hitting prep program. He does his own thing there.
And he's not alone across the sport. Now, there are plenty of guys who do their own thing. You get ready.
Yeah, ask Shohei.
Yeah, you get ready how you get ready.
Shohei like, doesn't do it alone. He,
yeah.
That's true. He does have an accomplice. Yeah. He has a fall guy.
Well, he'll make a call first, place a couple of bets, and then he'll go back and do what he's. I found a quick list.
Feds found him innocent.
Best swings in the sport. Shohei was at number 10, actually.
I wouldn't bet on that.
Tatis at 8, Trout at 7, JD Martinez, Arenado, Jordan. Jordan's got a sweet one.
Yeah, Jordan's is pretty.
Buxton, Mookie Betts. Those were the guys.
Do your kids emulate anyone or care?
They don't care. They don't try.
Man, it feels like copying the batting stance is a dead thing. That depressed me when we had on
Josh Smith. Josh and he Smith. Said nobody. Yeah.
Nobody.
Who was yours?
I would just change.
All the time.
But because you always emulate a few. But like wiffle ball, the one for me always was Will Clark. I loved the Will Clark.
I would try the Rat Wiggle. I would try Sheffield, Bonds. You try Griffey, the toe tap from Palmeiro, Ripken. Yeah. I mean.
Which one?
Exactly. Growing up 90 minutes from Ripken, it was one every other week.
Yeah, so like I think the problem is kids now, like, at least my kids, they spend so much time on YouTube watching hitting and videos. They all try to now have the same swing. Like the kid,
they're becoming Corey Seager.
Yeah, no, they all like, all the kids have of almost identical swings. Nobody has a unique batting stance. There's very rarely a unique pitching motion. Everything's very cookie cutter. They're all listening to that one dope who gives hitting instructions in jeans.
He calls is that really a guy?
His name is Teacher Man.
Teacher Man?
Teacher Man.
We went from Tom Amansky to Teacher Man?
Teacher Man. And his whole thing is,
son of a Teacher Man.
Get Jeff Fry on and have Jeff Fry just go to town on this guy. Can't stand him. I think he's in his head. Every Instagram post is about this guy and how wrong he is. But the guy's claim to fame is like he was Aaron Judge's hitting instructor for like one day. And Judge took some things and it's just about dropping the back shoulder. And I don't know, Bassett could come in here and just completely eviscerate the guy. But every kid tries to emulate him. Like they all try to emulate this one old dude who's got a good Instagram, TikTok account.
Seager said the whole question of would you rather know what's coming or have the perfect swing? I'm picking the perfect swing every single time. Anything else jump out from this, Bob?
No, just like I said, I think it is a dense article. There's a lot in here.
Well, Passon wrote it.
Yeah. And that's why he doesn't have time to text you back. He's too busy grinding, man. He's grinding away, typing up these words. But it's one of those where I think it feels like we know so little about Seager, like relative to other stars that we've had in DFW, just because of, I guess, his personality type and the way that he works and everything else. But it's a really good look, I think, at like technically what makes him obsessive and what makes him so damn good. And I mean, it definitely gives me a different perspective on watching him work. And we stand there because Seager has a little bit of it too. Like when we talk about the almost lazy looking swing of Rafael Palmeiro. And not that it's lazy, it's just that's
smooth.
Easy to him. It almost looks that way to Seager too. Like Seager just looks like it's nothing to him. It looks so natural. And like from this, it shows you that it's not just natural. It's a ton of technical study and really, really hard work to replicate it.
And I'm always fascinated by the mindset of the first pitch swing. Cause I'm like, you wait forever to get up there and you're like, okay, you want to like enjoy your at bat? You know what I mean? It's like enjoying your meal or not. And it's like, no, as soon as this is the pitch and that's it. And like, you're ready to go right from the very beginning versus like, take a pitch, read a pitch. And
the philosophy.
And
yeah.
If you get out on that first pitch, you're like, okay, like I went up there for one pitch and I have to sit around and just wait until my next opportunity versus like, try to get some time out of the at bat.
I will say the one thing that did. It's coupled with what John Smoltz told us on Thursday.
That the Rangers suck?
Yeah, I mean, he told us that over and over again. But, like, the idea that when he told us, he said, a lot of people would be stunned to find out there's, like, five guys on every team that actually want the moment. Like out of everybody in that ballpark, there's only five guys that actually want to be in that high-pressure situation. Most of the guys don't want to be at bat, don't want to be on the mound. The impression I get here is like Seager absolutely wants to be one of those guys up at the plate in those moments.
The info telling us that the Dallas Cowboys aren't as good as you may think they are with the draft just a few days away. That's next on 105.3 The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
The great Bobby Belt.
You ruined the morning show.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not. The Dallas Cowboys are not as good as you think they are. Or maybe they're just exactly what you think they are.
I had a problem with this tease.
Did you?
Yeah. I've had a problem with a couple of your recent teases.
Why? Hit me.
Because no one's mood right now is thinking, the Cowboys are so good.
No, but I think in general people believe
people are the Cowboys, all down on them.
I think people believe the Cowboys are naturally talented, and they don't think that the sum is as good as the parts.
Okay.
And this is saying that the parts aren't that good. That's what this is saying. Oh. So more on that in just a second, though. Sean, unless you'd like to lead the segment and write all my teases.
Talking about your teases lately.
Bill Belichick is in full spin mode. Bill Belichick's camp is in full spin mode. So last week, we read the article from Don Van Natta, and then who was it? Was it Seth Walder?
Wickersham.
Or was it Wickersham? This is one of their Seth W's over there.
Seth Walder's the analytics guy. Wickersham was the reporter.
Sure. Wickersham and Don Van Natta had written that article that honestly made Bill Belichick look completely pathetic. Like that he was just sitting around going like, I will give up anything to be a head coach. Please, Arthur Blank, let me do whatever. And they were like, no. In fact, our entire organization voted, and you weren't even in the top three. Yeah. You were voted out of the Big Brother house.
If you want to hear an evisceration, Michael Lombardi on the GM Shuffle like two episodes ago, listen to what he does to the Atlanta Falcons organization in front office. He murders them because he's Belichick's boy, and he feels like he has to take up for Bill publicly. Oh, my God. Ryan Pace.
He hates Rich McKay.
McKay.
He can't stand McKay's five. He's like, McKay's five games over 500. He's been there for 20 years. Like, who's still employed other than Jerry Jones at five games over 500 over 20-year stretch?
He attacks them more than Lee Harvey Oswald ever allegedly did. No, but Bill Belichick is starting to get some covering fire from his side. Jeremy Fowler had gone on, was talking with Rich Eisen. Jeremy Fowler has been the one reporting lately, which is always funny to me when it comes from inside. Like when it's another ESPN reporter basically countering something, like when Adam Schefter saying Mike Zimmer's going to get the job, Rex Ryan goes, "Shut up, Adam! You're an idiot.
Yeah.
Mike Zimmer's not going to get the Cowboys job." But after Bill Belichick's exit, there was this talk that he was essentially begging for a job. Well, not so. Nope. Bill Belichick didn't view the Falcons as a quote true contender.
Oh,
that was what sources were saying, was that he looked at Atlanta, said that's not really a true contender right now, and that he was willing to kind of sit things out, wait a little bit on a better job, a better opportunity, which is, you know, we've heard he's interested in basically anything in the NFC East that's not the Commanders, that's what he's interested in. But this is, again, this doesn't strike me as any sort of like, oh, okay, this makes sense. We clearly, what this strikes me as is like, no, this just continues to feed into how pathetic your offseason was, Bill, and that now you're having to make it look like, well, I didn't choose
he's
them.
He's about to be any port of storm, Bill.
Yeah. Honestly, like, which
would
is
you guys bet more that he ever gets another job?
I think he'll get a job.
He's done?
A job.
I think he's done. I mean, is it going to get better sitting out a year? Or like, are the perceptions of him going to get better in a year?
Is he going to have to go on this likability campaign? Is he going to have to? Is that going to be the mission through his next media job?
Probably why he's on the Manning things and McAfee and trying to show that he's not the same old curmudgeon.
He's going to go sit in a barn with PFF, and he's going to have, it's going to be called the Belichick Project, and he's going to have Peter King write articles for him, and Tom Pelissero talk about how he smashes cantaloupes or something.
Wrong era to finish in, right? Because I'm trying to think of someone else who has been punished for what I call the Bobby Knight tree. It's Knight, Parcells, La Russa, Belichick. Now, La Russa kind of like soured there at the end with Chicago, and Bobby Knight was Saban. Toxic and untouchable. Saban, like, it's the wrong final years for Belichick with the NIL and Gen Z generation.
Yeah, I mean, Saban seemed to do okay, but he got out. He's like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I can't handle it anymore.
Saban like, adjusted. He was adjusted. Just worn out by it.
Yeah.
How many years of NIL did he have?
Couple.
So, like, but it was starting to, if you don't like what Nick Saban's doing to you at Alabama, you just leave.
Yeah. And the thing that Saban did so well at Alabama for years is he had backups who were first round draft picks. Those guys eventually were like, I mean, okay, I need to go get money. I go get paid somewhere else that I can transfer easier.
I saw something interesting, by the way, the other day about Saban. There was a theory out there. I saw a discussion being had about it, about the idea of, like, what are the chances Saban just gets bored over the course of the next year because he is such a football junkie, and he looks for more pure football, and so he goes back and does, like, coaches a mid-major or something in a year. Just basically go somewhere where the NIL factor is not going to be as much, but he can still, like, be competitive and coach football again. Which
no.
I think would be interesting. Now, before we get to this Cowboys roster issue, Mike McDonald is a psycho and he's going to fail in Seattle. Mike McDonald. Mike McDonald is going to fail. That is the Ravens defensive coordinator. Historic failure organization, the Baltimore Ravens, ever since Lamar Jackson got there. For the first time since 2009, this is from Pro Football Talk, the Seahawks have hired someone other than Pete Carroll coaching their team, Mike McDonald, who they brought in there. Mike McDonald has decided to make a few changes. He has removed every single photo around the facility of the Super Bowl era Seahawks teams.
Wow.
And he's taken down all of Pete Carroll's slogans off the wall.
We don't live in the past like always, Frisco.
Always wow. compete and all in. But like Marshawn Lynch's Beastquake run, that was a photo that was up on the wall for a while. There was Richard Sherman, team celebration photos. He's pulled them all down. And he said, I think it's given us a clean foundation to create whatever we want to be. We're not chasing to be like any other team that's been here before. I mean, it definitely feels different. But like to me, this is psycho. This is psycho propaganda. Like you are trying to create some weird cult. I think it's super stupid to essentially erase a team's history from the building.
So like, are you not going to invite back like Richard Sherman or is Wagner on Seattle?
No, right now, no.
Okay. Or Wagner... You know, or Russ,
strange.
Marshawn, are you not going to invite them back? Like for events
this
and stuff?
This is strange,
at the very least,
man.
You don't want it memorialized on the wall. It's like, I mean, if you go to the Star, you see there's still the giant Witten photo helmet. Of Witten without the helmet. I think there are still Garrett slogans around the building.
Well, I mean, look, if you watch it, if Mike McCarthy came in there and said, I want all these old Cowboy photos taken down the Star, they would just say no. This is not going to happen. We have tours here.
I understand taking down Pete Carroll's slogans. I do understand that.
It's like, such a distraction in the weight room. Those old photos.
I know those old photos. Like of Bob Lilly.
This is not our mantra anymore. This is not the message. You know, I understand taking all that down. Removing team history from the walls is weird.
Yeah, it's
behavior.
Very weird. It's very strange. It's not something you should do.
This guy's a stud though in Baltimore. He was a stud.
Was he taking down photos of Ray Lewis?
Yeah.
I don't think he
does. I mean, think about it.
I don't think he... Ray takes other people down.
Allegedly.
You're tackling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand that the history...
Find
the history,
suit, Sean.
The history part, that's something where like the owner should step in. Like, no, this is our history.
I mean, imagine somebody walking into Baltimore where he just came from. If he would have gotten elevated as the head coach in Baltimore and he said, take down these photos of the 2000 Ravens team. Don't have them around the facility. It's insane.
It's insane
to
behavior.
Do something like
have
that.
Have you heard anything about him?
Not as a person, no. I mean, I know Adam Dirty went there. He's obviously the defensive coordinator now.
This is Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin did the same thing at Tennessee. Reggie White, Peyton Manning, get him out.
What a success.
And you know what he put up there? He put pictures of Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he did. He took down like the Tennessee Championship game, Peyton Manning, Reggie Witt took them all down. And he said, this is what we're going to create. And he put Reggie Bush and all these USC players up there.
Let's put Reggie Bush,
in
Matt
Leiter. Tennessee locker room.
I want a statue of Norm Chow up front.
Norm Chow.
This is psycho behavior. I thought that was stupid. And that just tells me that that's going to fail. This dude is going to be Joe Judge or something else. And it doesn't matter how good of a coordinator he is. This dude will not be. I will put anything on this. Mark this down. Anybody who wants to circle back and say, Bobby can never admit he's wrong. If I'm wrong, there's more than enough proof right now to point it out to me. I'm saying this dude will be a spectacular failure, and he'll be fired in Seattle. He won't last more than 2 years in Seattle.
Early Brian Daboll prediction from Choppy.
Yes, exactly. So the Athletic, their writer over there, Austin Mock, he's one of their big analytics guys, runs a number of simulations, does it for multiple sports over there. NFL, NBA, MLB, has simulations, mathematical models, and different things like that to try and place values on players. And so he has an NFL projection model where he's used it to rank each roster ahead of the draft. So the model takes into account a array of metrics and tries to put a value on every player. It says this value is essentially how many points above average a player brings to his team in a typical NFL game. Positional value weighs heavily when calculating that total. So the running back or linebacker, best running back or linebacker in the league, is not going to be worth as much as the best wide receiver or edge rusher. So after he's put together all these point totals, these are the top rosters in the NFL ahead of the draft. Number one, San Francisco 49ers. Number two, Kansas City Chiefs. Number three, Baltimore Ravens. Number four, Buffalo Bills. Number five, Philadelphia Eagles. So Cowboys outside the top five. Number six, Detroit Lions. Number seven, the Dallas Cowboys. And I thought what was interesting here was Austin Mock wrote that he thought this was too high, but he can't argue with the model. Like, he thought they should actually be lower. He says, I have a hard time agreeing with this one, but I understand why the model ranks the Cowboys here. They have a good quarterback in Dak Prescott, an elite wide receiver in CeeDee Lamb, an elite edge rusher in Micah Parsons, and quality safety play. Disagree with that. The rest of the positions leave a lot to be desired. However, it's just a bunch of position groups that don't move the needle much. If I'm the Cowboys, I'm bolstering the offensive line early in the draft. I remember after the season, Sean, you had specifically said you thought the discussion around they're just so talented had become overblown. Like that the roster was not nearly as talented as we had all talked about. Do you think that this is roughly where the Cowboys belong?
Yeah. I'm surprised Buffalo, after all the shedding, is up there. You know, Kansas City, I think we think of as like, okay, they're top heavy, and then they have to go ahead and save everywhere else. But they're always top five. Five through seven.
Pretty much.
The Cowboys always are.
It's interesting. I'm sitting here looking, and I'm trying to think. In recent years, like, we've seen San Francisco, like, each one of these teams essentially has walked away from a star player. Like, San Francisco was willing to say, sorry, we're not going to pay DeForest Buckner. You're getting traded. Kansas City said, we're going to let Tyreek Hill go. Buffalo just recently let Stephon Diggs go. Like, I wonder if that willingness to make tough decisions in the name of being able to preserve depth is something that ultimately is going to hurt the Cowboys because they haven't been able to make those decisions.
Yeah, what's the stat about top five, top six salaries paid and those teams?
Oh, if you have...
The Rams bucked that.
If you're top 10 players, you know, go up to beyond 60% of the cap, your average record is 5-11. That's historically over the entire era of the cap. Now, that kind of changes when you have quarterbacks and the cap going up and quarterbacks making so much money, you're having to adjust that. But that's basically what it's been.
Below the belt on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. What?
I swear to God, Chop, if you unblock this number again, I'm gonna read it on the air. I swear to God.
NFL draft coverage, Path to the Draft, is brought to you
gonna do it.
by Zero Res and Pluckers, and that would be the end of Roberto. I think this is RJ and I's favorite segment coming up, the NBA Players Poll.
Oh, yeah, baby.
What do they say about Luka MVP? Who would you build around? They love Caitlin Clark, Bobby, and how LeBron is catching Michael. Final hour, Tolo Tuesday, along with the Stars losing game one, all next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.